you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you. Reading from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, 11 through 13. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Wednesday. Hey, Dee. Hey, Marianne.
Hey there, Mark.
Hi.
Well, we had a lengthy time of praying up the world, the circumstances that we're in the midst of, you know, war and heartache and hurt and pain and suffering and confusion. And yet, we can rest in the fact that we serve a great God who has it under control. Yes, there's suffering, great suffering, suffering beyond we can even imagine. I can't even understand some of the heartache men and women are going through in Ukraine and parts of the world. And, you know, there's other parts of the world.
Yes.
Sex trafficking.
And many, many
children
things.
Being brutalized. Even in our own neighborhood, there's people starving and hurting.
Yeah.
And so you could really get caught up and get discouraged. And rightly so, we need to be aware of these things.
Yes,
and
we
need to be cognizant of this heartache and hurt and pain and suffering. And yet, we also have to somehow balance the fact that God is a good God, that He's in control, He's sovereign. He is working through these situations.
Yes.
But there is some mystery, and how do we pray most effectively? And yet we know God is good. And I led off with this passage because Paul knew how to be content in various circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
He trusted in the sovereignty of God and that God ultimately, His will prevail. And it doesn't minimize the fact that we can agonize over things, but we should be overly consumed. I don't know. How do we have that balance?
Well, you know, God is not the author of evil.
Right.
The Bible makes that extremely clear, and we don't want to get that mixed up. You know,
right.
He does not issue temptations to do evil, and He is not the author of evil. He's the author of all good. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights toward us. And
Amen.
We should hold on to that. And, you know, that scripture you read, Mark, has always made me admire the Apostle Paul. Because in whatever circumstances, rich or poor, safety or not, this trust in God is paramount. And that Apostle Paul lived that out.
He did.
It's amazing. And, you know, it's one thing to read that and to believe it when you're in comfort. It's one thing to spout off that scripture. Well, you know, in whatever state I'm in and I've got everything I need, you know.
Right.
It's when you don't.
Yeah.
And you can hold on to that.
Yeah, I like to always say it's easy to be friendly and enjoying life when you're on the cruise ship,
on
vacation.
Right.
I was like, wow, what a sweet person. It's when the heartache of life pours into their life that's when you're really tested and can prove and true.
Mm-hmm.
Like this verse 13, a friend had it on his basketball shoes, you know, the Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And it's kind of one of those bumper sticker sayings, but I do like the part. It's not that I can do everything. I mean, you know, sometimes people can feel like they're great athletes or great entertainers or great preachers or teachers or whatever it is, but it's through Him.
Yeah.
I wish they would have capitalized that Him, but it is. It's through Christ. It's through God. He's the one that can give us strength to
do those things. Focus on the strength, that powerful strength coming from God. That's like David in the Psalms said, you know, with His strength, I can scale a wall.
Yeah.
I love that, giving that honor to God.
Yeah, He's the one that gets the credit. He's the one that's equipped us to even have the lifeblood that we're having today,
yep,
to
mm-hmm.
be cognizant, conscientious, to be aware of things. He's given us the brain, the capacity to be hardworking, or the health to be able to go out and do what we do, the gifts and talents. It all comes from him. So
yeah,
generally, we can't take credit for anything.
No, he breathed into the human race the breath of life.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
We talked a little about that the other day, about just the mere fact that we exist was a gift.
Yeah.
Because he, in his, I think I was saying in all eternity, but pre-eternity, I mean,
yeah,
through all of time, God chose to create us,
mm-hmm.
and we're a part of his world, his handiwork,
mm.
and all credit really to him. We can't take credit for anything. Even if we say, well, I'm a really hard worker. Well, who gave you the health? Who gave you the wherewithal to be a hard worker? You know, you can't really take credit for anything, so...
Mm-mm.
But we do want to acknowledge God in all these things and have him work in his way and his will and press in his kingdom influence, power, and authority in these places, these hot spots in the world. And as maybe distant as that is, we also want to pray for those hot spots in your marriage, in your workplace. You know, everywhere God can be asked to be a part or working through or helping assist or bringing clarity. And so,
well, everything matters.
Yeah.
Yes, everything matters, and everything we do matters one way or another.
Yes.
In this verse, you're right. Paul knew that, whether
mm-hmm.
he was in prison or
right.
he was being entertained in a wealthy environment, or whether he had a lot or little, he knew how to be content because he knew the core personality or who God was.
Mm-hmm.
And God
mm-hmm.
is a good God, and we can always rest in that. And then we have that eternity to figure it out. I mean, it doesn't guarantee that everything's going to go great in this side of eternity,
mm-mm.
but ultimately, because he is a good God, it all makes sense. And we have all eternity to heal up or worship and see how good he really is.
Mm-hmm.
Woo-hoo. Okay, so that was Philippians 4:11-13. Let me just read it again. And I did start off, you said, you had mentioned, Marianne, maybe we start at 11b. But I kind of like the context of him saying, I am not saying this because I am in need.
Mm.
For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him, and he's the one who gives me strength. Through him who gives me strength. Who a good, reassuring verse for all of us to recognize God is in control. He is good. He will be the one to give us strength in those times when we can't stand alone or can't keep up or can't do it by ourselves.
We might should start that we never can do it by ourselves.
Right, right.
Like you said earlier.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's Wednesday, which means it's the Prime Life Times in Review. So we have opened up our March edition, and we're going to be reading a story by one of our beloved content contributors.
She is beloved.
Dee Chesser.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And this is about an experience in my life which was rather traumatic, but God had his hand on us.
Yeah.
We know that. We know that.
Okay, you just read it to us, Dee. High water.
High water. Saturday and Sunday nights, our favorite radio programs usually came on while we were still eating. Conversation ceased as we listened while finishing supper as quickly as we could, and then gathered around the radio in the living room.
Did the radio look like one of the ones in our display cabinet over there?
Well, it was about that size, but it was brown.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
I thought most radios in the 50s were brown.
I think they were.
We couldn't wait until Jack Benny headed for his creepy basement with all the astounding sound effects where he kept his money, or until Fibber McGee opened his closet and everything fell out. More wonderful sound effects. But there was a night in the cold spring of 1951 when our family gathered around the radio without my dad, just as almost every family in our town of North Mankato was doing. This time we weren't listening for entertainment. Most of the men from our town and from surrounding communities were desperately working along the riverbanks, piling sandbags high as fast as they could to keep the raging Minnesota River from entering our city. The radio announcers were on site giving a blow-by-blow account of the fight that soon became a losing battle. As the water began to seep through the levee, all the men were sent home to evacuate their families. That awful news was broadcast over the radio before Dad even left the site.
You know, when I was reading this story and I was thinking about it, I thought it was going to be that they were serving in, like, World War II, and there was going to be the announcements of, you know, those the casualties and such.
We had moved into a brand new two-story home just a few months earlier. Our first house, a prefab unit which my dad built after the war, was two blocks away from our new home. My father rushed home, and he and some friends from Mankato, the city across the river, which wasn't threatened by the floodwaters, hurriedly moved our furniture to the second floor. My mother had packed our clothes, which were quickly stowed in our 1941 Chevrolet sedan, and we drove out of town. I especially remember the last street before we came to the bridge. You couldn't see it anymore because the water was already up to the floorboards of our car. It was a surreal experience, very frightening for my brother and me at ages 8 and 5, but not nearly so bad as the despair my parents were feeling as we crossed the bridge to higher ground. Along with another family, we stayed with friends, sleeping fitfully with all the other children that first night. I don't think any of the adults slept. Each time I woke up, I could hear them still talking. In the morning, my father and his best friend took a duck boat across the bridge, launched it into the dark, murky water, and headed for our house. The water had risen above the foundation, and my father knew he would have to kick in the windows, which so far were holding back the flood water. Some walls around the city had already collapsed from the water pressure. Later, Dad said it broke his heart to kick in the windows of our brand new house. It took only minutes for the basement to fill with the dirty water, which soon rose to cover the first floor by 3 inches. Even worse, in the house we had left only months earlier, the water rose 3 feet above the first floor. Dad and his friend returned to the bridge just in time to find out that no one else would be allowed to cross. Their timely early morning foray had saved our house. In the ensuing days, my brother and I were packed up and sent off to our grandparents' farm in southern Minnesota. I was enrolled in school there, and for the first time in my life, I rode a school bus from the farm to the city. My brother was in kindergarten, was allowed to stay home with Grandma. I envied him because going to a new school just for a few weeks was not my idea of fun. I didn't have any trouble navigating the third grade in my new surroundings, except for music class. Those classes in my own school amounted to a lot of singing, but in this new setting, almost everyone read music with the help of Do, Re, Mi. Entirely foreign to me, I really had to play catch-up. Riding a bus to school was strange enough, but that experience became even more weird the day one of the older boys, while arguing with his seatmate, pulled out a jackknife and stabbed the other boy in the leg. Needless to say, we made a couple of extra stops that day before school, one at the clinic and one at the police station.
Now, this wasn't the school where you learned to throw a rock at a boy.
No.
That's another story.
We've already heard that one.
Yes, that was back in North Mankato. Walking up the lane to catch the bus was just a little strange, with nothing in sight but cornfields. At home, I had walked to school every day, and I would later continue to do so for the rest of elementary school and junior high. But one morning as I started up the lane, right in front of me was a huge snake coiled on the warm gravel. I was pretty sure it was making a rattling noise, so I ran back to the house, yelling for Granddad and Grandma. Grandma had no fear of snakes. She shooed me back out of the house, telling me to hurry up or I'd miss the bus.
And I love you.
I think that was...
Have a nice day.
The stoic farm wife.
Yep.
Granddad, on the other hand, hated snakes. He went to the garage, opened it up, and brought out the car to drive me up the lane. Grandma said he was spoiling me, which he was, but of course she did too. Our visits with our parents were short and too far apart. We had no idea what they were going through as my mom scrubbed floors, walls, ceilings, and the furnace in the basement, and the floors and baseboards upstairs. Dad worked all day, then came home to help her as side by side they washed away the brackish, dried mud and river water on into the evenings, then traveled across the river to our friend's house where they slept. The next day, the cycle continued, and it went on and on and on. It seemed to take forever, even to an 8-year-old, but in early summer, my brother and I finally moved back home. Gradually, the nightmare faded and things returned to normal. The fear did rear its ugly head occasionally, though. Once, our class was watching a recently released movie of the flood, and one of our classmates, whose father had just recently died suddenly, was shocked to see her father's face on the screen. As the teacher quickly led the sobbing girl from the room, an uneasy quiet settled in. The only sound was the whirr and occasional click of the movie projector and reel. Each one of us was silently reliving our own flood experiences. But it wasn't long before we once again gathered around our radios to laugh, not huddle in fear. And I'm happy to report, I saw no more snakes in the road. I witnessed no more jackknife incidents. And I didn't have to ride a school bus for 7 more years. Oh, and our music class back home never did learn Do, Re, Mi.
Copyright D.A. Cheshire. Used by permission. D. directs the Great News Radio Children's Choir. She can be contacted at dannecheshire@gmail.com.
You know, I'm thinking that Do, Re, Mi, though, you were sharing that with the children and
that's
teaching
true.
Them.
Yes,
and you had that music chart.
You learned it there.
So.
Yes. I finally learned it.
Yeah.
Nice article, Dee.
Thank you.
Wow.
That was the March edition, Volume 6, Issue 3 of the beloved Prime Lifetimes, available at over 400 area locations and growing.
I can just only imagine how your dad felt kicking that window in brand new house. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it would have been bad enough if we'd lived there a long time.
I know.
Just having moved in.
You could just almost feel how much he had worked for and invested in that house and just have to do that knowing he had to.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people, I would think most of our listeners have some familiarity, but when there's flooding like that, then all the mold grows and all the drywall has to be busted out, and it's just, and anything that's paper or got damp for the most part, it warps and so much has to be thrown away.
Your parents put in a lot of work scrubbing down that house.
Oh, I can't imagine doing that. Can you?
Well, I've heard stories, but it's hard.
And my little 90-pound mother, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's Wednesday. We also include listener letters, listener mail. And here's one I just wanted to show you the front. You know Mark, who delivers the Prime Lifetimes publication throughout the year,
Mark
he and his
Cooler,
wife?
Yeah.
Do you see how he put Brother Burns?
Thank you. I did that.
Yeah, that was because of a comment that was one of our listeners had written in. And
I was jumped on that right away.
So
Brother
anyways,
Burns.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. The other Mark.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I have a response card here from Linda in Champaign, and she says, "What a blessing you all are. Great programs, great music for all."
Amen. Thank you, Linda. Thank you for your support.
This is from Homer in Gibson City. "Hi, Mark and friends. Another year has passed, and we're still enjoying WGNN for how many years?" He has a question mark.
Yeah, they from the very beginning, so probably like 26 years.
He says, "We remember driving to Gibson to church from Fisher and listening that April." Yeah. He's talking about the beginning, isn't he? "We had waited for that broadcast as Steve Rhodes had promised it would happen. So we started in faith giving."
Steve Rhodes was Rhodes Tower Company. He helped erect that very first tower in Fisher.
Mm. "We still listen during the night and early a.m. Keep up the good work. We just celebrated 66 years of marriage. God is good."
Happy anniversary, guys.
Yes.
Appreciate
Thanks, Homer.
Them. Yeah, they've written us forever. Homer and Jane. This comes from Pontiac, from Sandra, and Karen puts new names, so they're first-time givers to the radio ministry. She writes on this colorful stationery. I don't know. What do you think those flowers are?
It looks like violets.
Violets.
They do. Mm-hmm.
They're laying down or something.
Well, I think they are.
Well, anyways, Great News Radio stumbled across you people a few months ago, and it was so wonderful. Don't get to listen to you much, but enjoy every minute. Listen from the Bloomington station, 90.3 FM. When I heard the other night that you were supporters of Israel, I knew I had to send some finances your way. God bless you for your great news. Prayers, and it's signed Sandy. So thank you, Sandy, for being a part of our radio listening family.
And we have a note from Marilyn in Tolono.
Hey, Marilyn, I've known her since the very beginning. She was a part of the first historical broadcast. We had the radios all set at Twin City Bible Church.
Really?
When we officially went on at noon on April 7th of 1996. Mm. Easter Sunday, April 7th, 1996.
Cool. Glad you now have the singing men of GNN meeting and practicing again.
Yep, Monday nights.
Hope the rain will be past before you are all singing at the Tolono Fun Days concert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be singing. They've asked us again to sing at the Tolono Fun Days. Last year when we were planned to sing, it rained, and then they rescheduled us, and it rained again. I think it rained the third day, so we didn't get to sing.
You can't control the weather.
But this year they've asked us to sing again. So
super.
We're praying
nice.
For that weather.
This is from Nancy in Champaign. I'm looking forward to coming to the open house in March.
Yeah, that's coming up a few weeks away, March 26, 1 to 4 p.m. here at the Great News Media Center, right between Lens Crafters and Old Navy. We have our private outdoor entrance, so enter from outside, park, and then just walk right in. Look for the Great News Media sign. We're on the east side of the mall, but you access through our private outside doors.
Good fellowship, and I'm sure there will be food.
Food
Everything we do, we have some kind
giveaways.
Of food.
Yes, yes, lots of good things. This comes from Leroy from Chandler, Arizona. Leroy. He moved out there many years ago, but he continues to listen online, and he put, Mark, a little taste of home via God's word. So appreciate your commitment to the great ministry. Blessings from the AZ Desert, Arizona Desert, Leroy. So thanks for your support, Leroy.
Nice.
And he comes in and visits every once in a while. They do a vacation back here to meet up with friends.
I have one from Steve in Urbana.
Hey, Steve.
Mark and staff, I am so glad you have the online and radio broadcasts. I am listening to them a lot these days. Thank you.
Yeah, and the online, if you stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, you can listen on the streaming links to the three different formats. And you also, I think, we're still working it out, so whether it's Siri or some of those things, you can say, tune in WLUJ or tune in WGNN or tune in Great News Radio, and it might play on your device. We're still working through. There's been some issues with that.
When you said that, I think it's Alexa. I don't know what it is on your phone when you say through your microphone, you'll look up the scripture or something. I found this on the internet. I'm like, where else would this
you find it?
Artificial intelligence, whatever her name is, find it, but on the internet.
And you like, do you like my little...
That's weird.
She has that British accent.
I know. She's so special. I found this on the internet. I'm like, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
So you're on the internet.
Yeah. This is a note from Catherine from Macomb, and she writes,
off track.
Blessings to Donna Leland, exclamation point.
Oh, that's nice.
Love her voice and inspiring passages that she shares. Thank you for your support, Catherine. We appreciate it, and appreciate all those that take the time to write us, or they may comment about the Prime Life Times or about our broadcasts or events. You're all invited on March 26th to our open house, our grand opening open house, 1 to 4 p.m., and we appreciate your feedback, so don't ever hesitate to write us.
Please do write.
Yeah, please write us and share maybe some thoughts or ideas.
Oh, yeah.
What you appreciate, how God's using the ministry, and we'll always reply and get back with you. So thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. Thanks for tuning in today. Thank you for being available, Dee, again.
Yeah, great article.
I love being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. And thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Dee Chesser, and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.